Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the scripture may be, that the sepulchre may be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' so the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, 'Come, see the place where the Lord lay.' And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen." May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
Reverence in this morning, O Lord. We thank thee.
This truth that we read about this morning hour, about Jesus rising from the dead, it is our glory. It is what we rejoice in. It is what we base all our faith and all our hope in. It is a hope that transcends anything that we might ever aspire to or ever could obtain. It is a hope that gives us grace day by day to serve Him, a hope that would sustain us. And so what Jesus Christ has done, we glorify Him. For all that He has done, in that He had conquered death and was the first to be raised from the dead. And for all the things that Jesus Christ has done, the believer rejoices in. And we glorify Him and we magnify His name and we lift up His name on high now and throughout all eternity for what Jesus Christ has done. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what He has done. And we rejoice in what He has done. And we give Him the honor and the glory for rising and for living and that for eternity and giving us that blessed hope. And so before we can fully understand and fully rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for us in rising from the dead, we have to understand the magnitude of the suffering that He experienced just before He rose from the dead. In that when he was the whole time frame of when He was from when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane to the time He was upon the cross and said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. We have to remember that He shed drops of blood, as it were sweat, great drops of blood, as it was sweat, when he prayed to the Father and said, "If it be possible, take this cup from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done." He was suffering there, and he asked for his disciples to watch and pray while he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they fell asleep on him. And then when the arrest came, and they came to take him away, all his disciples fled. He felt that denial of him. He felt the betrayal of Judas. He felt it very much when he was mocked, when he was spit upon, when a crown of thorns was platted upon his head, and he had to experience that pain. And then when he was wearing that crown of thorns, that they smote him with a reed and felt the thorns being driven even greater into his skull. He felt all this pain. He felt that the pain that was while he was there upon the cross. He felt when his side was pierced. He felt that mocking. He felt when those that came by and wagged their heads and said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And then the chief priest saying the same thing, mocking him, and he's all alone. And then worst of all, he felt that separation from his Father. And he cries out and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" All this great suffering, this great magnitude of the suffering, Jesus experienced. He experienced it all for you and for me. And then we glory then that after 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and he triumphed over death, and he destroyed death. And so we pick up the reading here in verse number 54, that after all these things transpired on the cross, the darkness during the noonday, the earthquake, and all these things that were happening, there were the centurion says that after he sees all these things, truly this was the Son of God. That is absolutely true, and so thankful that the centurion came to this realization that truly this was the Son of God. But the only thing that he got wrong was the tense. It's not that Jesus was the Son of God, but that Jesus is the Son of God. And so there are those that were here in this time as we consider this scripture and read through what happened here. There were those that believed, and then there were those that believed not. And likewise today, there are those that believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and there are those that believe not. And perhaps we don't need to really classify who believed and who didn't believe, but whether our hearts believe, and more paramount to even that is that we glorify God for what he has done through Jesus Christ in raising him from the dead. And so the centurion came and he says this, that he realized this was no ordinary man. He didn't say that of the thieves that hung on Jesus' left and right. He spoke that of Jesus. Truly, this was the Son of God. And truly, he is the Son of God. And the Bible here says that many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus and from Galilee and ministered unto him. And it says that there was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And the women were always there. The women were always there ministering or serving to the needs of Jesus. They were there when he was crucified. They were there when he was laid in the sepulcher. They were there when he rose from the dead. The women were always there, both Mary and Mary. And here in these verses it says other women as well. And so Joseph comes, and Joseph is one that did believe that Jesus was the Christ. And Joseph came and he asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate said that he could take it, and Joseph goes to some extensive effort, to make sure that the body of Jesus was properly wrapped and placed in a sepulcher, and even rolled the great stone of the door of the sepulcher. And again, Mary and Mary were watching and beholding that. They were taking note of where Jesus' body was laid and how he was being prepared as his body was being buried. And so it says, and the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together by Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." Why is it that these chief priests and Pharisees heard the truth of Jesus Christ as he spoke these things, but yet they didn't believe? They didn't believe. and so they make a request to Pilate and says, "Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' so the last error shall be worse than the first." They wanted to make precaution that some story could not be fabricated, that if there is a chance that Jesus would rise from the dead, that a story could be fabricated. But there was no need to fabricate a story. There was no need, because Jesus says of himself that he has power of his life. He lays it down of himself. No man can take away my life, but I lay it down of myself. It says, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it again. This commandment I have received of my Father," Jesus says. And so there was no need for anyone to fabricate a story, because truly he did rise from the dead. And so Pilate tells them, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." And so they did. They sealed it, and they put watchmen there in front of the grave. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Here it is, these watchmen, they saw the glory, not the glory of a risen Jesus, but they saw the glory of an angel. They saw this glory. They saw the earth shake. They saw him in this angel in the glory having being lit and white raiment, and the stone rolled away. And it says, and they became as dead men. They weren't as a soldier who said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." But they feared so much. And the angel answered and said to the women, not to the keepers, but the angel said to the women that were there, Mary and Mary, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And in the other gospel it says, why seek ye here the living among the dead? Jesus Christ is alive. And he wouldn't, and we wouldn't look for something that's alive in a cemetery. And so Jesus says, or the angel says, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where Jesus lay. The angel is saying, recall now that Jesus said that he would rise from the dead. And if we go back a couple chapters in chapter 16, we see that the Bible says, from that time forth came Jesus to began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the chief of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus began to tell his disciples, and he was speaking to them of how he would rise again the third day. And then later we see in chapter 20, Jesus takes his disciples apart and he speaks to them privately and he says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes and shall be condemned unto death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Jesus told them, as he said, he is risen. He will rise again that third day. The scribes and the Pharisees, they came to recollect that. They remembered Jesus is saying that he would rise again that third day. The disciples forgot about that, or they missed it. They missed it. And so the angels here telling the women here that as he said, he is risen. And so, as an infallible proof, the angel points to the place where they beheld that Joseph had laid the Lord Jesus, his body. And so the angel says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. That's where he was laying. He's gone. He's no longer there. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him, lo, I have told you. The angel's telling them, Mary and Mary, go to the disciples, tell them, the Lord is alive. He's not there. The tomb is empty. The grave is empty. The stone is rolled away. And the angel, in great bright countenance, tells us that the Lord is risen indeed. And so they depart quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. Here it was, the very beginning of the news is spreading. Jesus is alive. The grave is empty. The tomb is empty. This is the beginning of the great news. This is the joy of the believer, those that believe the words of Jesus Christ, that glorify him, that magnify his name because of all that he had done. And so again, for us, it's all about Jesus, about what he has done, about that he has risen from the dead, about that he has given unto us life through faith in his name, that we would believe upon him. The Bible says that these were worshiping Jesus, and that we worship Jesus, and that in heaven we will worship him so much so that we will cast our crowns before him and glorify him for who he is and all that he has done. It's all about Jesus, worshiping him and glorifying him. The Bible says in Revelation that there was a multitude, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that in them that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. This is how it is, that we worship the Lord, that we magnify him, that we glorify him, because he is risen from the dead. This is the glory of the believer. This is the glory of those that are Christ and that have come to recognize Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, the Christ, that we glorify him because he is risen from the dead and he lives forevermore. And so as the women were going to tell the disciples this great news and to begin to share this great news that Jesus is alive, he is risen, that as they were going, Jesus meets them on the way. And he tells the women there, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. He's speaking to these women, and he's, again, bringing them many infallible proofs that he is alive. And he himself, they had seen the angel, and now they're seeing Jesus himself in his risen state. And Jesus speaks to them and says, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. And the Bible says here that there was at the same exact time that the women had seen Jesus, that the watch, those keepers, those guards there that were watching the sepulcher, they had come into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave them they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Why wasn't it that the chief priest says, well then, this truly must be the Son of God, because he did rise from the dead? The keepers of the grave, those that were watching the grave, they had seen the angel, just as the women had seen the angel. And it says that they became as dead men. They had seen the glory of God, the angel descending from heaven. They had felt the earthquake. They had seen him roll away the stone. Why couldn't the keepers believe in Jesus? Why didn't the chief priest then say, well, then truly this is the Son of God? But that's the way it is. There are those that believe that Jesus is the Christ, and there are those that believe not that Jesus is the Christ. And the Bible continues here and says, then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And so here it was, the meeting place, the meeting time. They were having, the disciples were having a mountaintop experience, both figuratively and literally. Just as it was when Jesus spoke there on the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke there on the mountain and brought forth the words of life. And the people were astonished and they were amazed at the power of the teaching of Jesus. They were having a mountaintop experience then. And then at the time of transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John had seen Jesus transfigured and become white, they had a mountaintop experience. And now here it is again. They went to go meet Jesus in the mountain, in Jesus' risen state. And they were again having this mountaintop experience. And it sees that, and the Bible says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given. That is something that we need to believe, that all power is given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. And so Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that's what the apostles did. We can read about that through scriptures, and I'd just like to point out just a couple of them, because they have great power, and they do have significance of this, what Jesus told them to do. So Jesus goes and tells them, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And so they did. And they began in Jerusalem, right there in Judea. That would be the first nation that they spoke to and taught that nation. And the Bible says that that great power was given unto the apostles, that they might testify and witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And great grace was given to them. And so as we see through scriptures, as is often the case, is everything is big with God. Everything's of great magnitude. The women there had great joy after they had seen the angel, and the angel proclaims to them that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. They had great joy. Just as the time when Jesus was born and the angels came and said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy that a baby was born in a manger, and there was a baby Jesus, but now there's a man, Jesus, who was crucified and risen from the dead. So there was this great joy among the women as the proclamation was made that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so as the apostles then bore witness and began to teach of Jesus, the great power was given unto them as they witnessed, as they testified of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then the Bible says, and great grace was upon them all. In great magnitude. Great magnitude. And so as the word went out further, as the apostles were teaching and following the commandments of Jesus, that the Apostle Paul says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to great and small. He witnessed to kings and as well as to Gentiles, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first to rise from the dead. That's what they were testifying. They were testifying of these things. And so Jesus tells them further, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And so what is it that the apostles were going to all the world teaching of what Jesus Christ taught? Well, first and foremost is that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That we would believe his teaching and follow his teaching that we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. That we would follow the teaching of Jesus where he says that we should love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ. It transcends any continent or any generation or any time frame. These are the teachings that hold true for any place and any time. Jesus says that we should be a light to this world. Jesus said that we should wash each other's feet, that we should serve each other. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus taught us that we should bear fruit. Jesus taught us that we should love our enemies. Jesus taught us that we should forgive those that would trespass against us. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ that the apostles went forth and taught, and that we also are to teach. Jesus taught us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus taught us to remember his broken body and his shed blood in the way that we do, as he did there at the Last Supper. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ. These are the teachings that bring life. We are to believe, as Jesus said here, that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. We are to believe that. We are to believe that he is with us always, even until the end of the world. We are to believe that as believers in Jesus Christ. We are to believe that Jesus is coming again because he said so in his word. All the red letters in the Bible, we are to believe. These are the words of Jesus Christ. We are to believe that nothing that Jesus said will be left unfulfilled. Everything that Jesus said will be fulfilled. This is what we are to believe. Jesus spoke to Martha, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This is what we need to ask ourselves. Do we believe this? That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? This is what would qualify us to be a believer, and that we would then yield ourselves to him in all. And what that does, as we become believers in Jesus Christ, is that we, as Jesus Christ did, as he died and rose to life again, that we are to die to our former self and we are to rise to new life. This is the commandment of Jesus Christ, that we would walk in newness of life. And so the Bible says that, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God the Father, that even so we should walk in newness of life. And so Jesus had done a great thing, but for us, it's likewise, that we would die to self and that we would walk in newness of life. The Bible also says in Ephesians chapter 2, that, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He made us alive because he rose from the dead. He made us to be alive when we were dead, dead in trespasses, dead in sin. But we believe in him and we glorify him for who he is, and we rejoice in all that he has done. And so Peter, as he went and he witnessed and he fed the sheep of Jesus, that he writes an epistle, and right there in the very beginning of his epistle, he says, after all that he has experienced, after all that he had witnessed, he says these words: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed be God. May it be that we would have this worship as the women did there, and many others, as they would worship Jesus, that we would have this, that we would worship Jesus for who he is and what he has done for us, that we would glory in what Jesus Christ has done, and that we have hope, a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, we have life, and that more abundantly. May we glorify him for who he is. Amen.